occurrences, events, whatever you like to call them, that occur from the time the lost child grows up to an age where the Holy Spirit alone understands his full mental capacity. And at that time, God begins to draw that child toward the realization that there is a God, and that that God is to be feared. And sometimes if you try to remember back when it first started and when it first hit you, it varies. The Constitution says all men are created equal. But that doesn't mean in mental capacity and understanding. Some people never reach the age of accountability. I worked in a, not for pay, I worked in a mentally, in a retarded place for people that had various ages of understanding. Some of them did reach the age of accountability, and others didn't. And they had four different floors that they taught on. And I taught on the last two floors. And I enjoyed it because they were very childish and immature, but their love was very genuine. I learned a lot about people. They called and asked that we go out and would they give us someone to do this teaching on a couple of floors where they did reach the age of accountability. Just do it out of volunteer. And three preachers went out there. They got three preachers to go out. I was one of them. And I don't mean to sound like a hero, but I'd been through some wars, and I was used to horrible sights. The others two weren't. Nice fellas. I liked them very much. They were in my class. And we went out there, and they didn't make it past the second floor. Both of them were throwing up when we got up to the floors where they had heads this big. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Heads this big and bodies, legs, body, head, about that big. It's pretty horrible. One of them ran out of the room. They had never seen anything like that. And the other one ran down to the restroom and threw up. I didn't mind it because I'd been through some things. God has a way of always knowing what he's going to do with a man and preparing him for it. And it usually surprises him. But I learned a lot about human beings. I went up to that floor with a horror on it. And I got to know the people in there. And I went over once a week. And then I remembered all the experiences that I had in what you call a landmark church. And I remembered what the experiences I had in that same church that the rapture was supposed to occur on the seventh trumpet. They also allowed you to have other beliefs. But it was a Missionary Baptist church called Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. So God has graced me marvelously, equipped me by sending me to places I didn't really want to go. There is no hero left in me. There's very little desire for attention. I say that because just as sure as I don't, I'll suddenly want attention again. But the relationship I have with God is one now that I have a concern for every man's soul, for its salvation, its destination, and the inheritance that God has waiting for it in heaven. And I feel a responsibility to tell them that it's time to choose. You don't have a lot of time. I'm not telling you the day, the week, the time, or the year, but you don't have much time. Now, I'm not warning you of that just because I want to seek your attention, recognition, and praise and say he's very wise. I've been at this for a long time. I know a lot of other preachers have said he's coming back in the past, but you never heard me give you the day, the week, the month, or the year. But I told you when I came up here, if I ever find it, when I believe it's about on us, I'll tell you, it's about on us. Now, I know you'd like to stay here. Why do I know? Because everybody that I've run into just about is so interested in when it's going to occur because they want to stay here as long as they can. I can understand that. Some of you have wives, you have children, you're afraid of it. And there is always a temperamental fear. And you're worried because maybe you haven't forgiven people because you don't know how. But listen, that's got nothing to do with it. What it has to do is, do you love Jesus? I guarantee you, if you have grown to love Jesus, it's because you've gotten to know him. When you got saved, you didn't know very much about him. The Bible indicates that Paul preached and taught from house to house, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's mention this. You say, well, you've told us this before. I want you to tell you again, because what we have touched in this church has to do with, actually, and before I came up here, I understood what it meant when it said that Paul went from house to house teaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I understood it, not as well as I do now. But the night I got saved, all I knew was I had had a fear of God for a long time, ever since I was about 7 years old. And finally, after 4 years of just, I can't take this anymore. And I just didn't know anything. And Paul and I were talking about that out there in the hall. And so all of a sudden, you had an experience, something like this. They're all different. They all have slight variations. Depends on who raised you. You take all these trusty kids out here, and all their kids, their grandkids, you take them, they were exposed to it. They were exposed to the truth directly. And it's a tremendous advantage to have that. And I know that this is getting close to Thanksgiving. I know all of them, just about. And this is something you ought to be really thankful about. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. You don't know how thankful I am that I'm a landmarker. You say, well, you must be something special. No, I wasn't much of a landmarker because I wasn't too grateful for that. Because I knew it. I could rake it off to you even as when I was 7 years old. I knew what a landmarker was. But landmarkerism is something that you have to learn. And it's something God teaches you after the Holy Spirit starts convicting you. And he's convicting you from the moment he knows you've reached the age of accountability. God is just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. Jesus himself said the Spirit drew this particular sheep out into the wilderness. There comes a time in your life, you know, you may be a very happy baby. You may have good parents. You may have bad parents. You may have in-between parents. You may be raised in a nursery. I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen when you come into this world. But God positions us because he knows what we're going to do. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe God just put his hand over there and say, well, I picked Tom, and then I won't pick Kenneth. He's going to H-E-L-L. And God didn't do that. God just said, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's been God's will from the beginning. But from the very beginning, in his word, and that's what you've got to understand. I couldn't understand why my grandfather had such deep respect for that book. Oh, I knew it was the Bible. But they would sit and study that until late at night, and I would sit in there with them. But I know now. I'm understanding. And after I came up here, I began to be a better landmarker and a better landmarker and a better landmarker. And we teach landmarkism in this church. And because of that, we also teach that everything you get is God's grace. Paul said, Jesus said, a man can receive nothing, or John the Baptist, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So it's close to Thanksgiving, and I haven't just fixed up a cute little message here. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that I wasn't like I was 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm a landmarker. And I believe that. And God said he would take his teachings and would chisel them into the heart of this generation. It's been chiseled in my heart. I know what I am. You say, well, tell us that you won't ever turn away from it. Peter said he'd die for Jesus. I'd like to. But the Lord knows that. And that's a personal thing between myself and the Lord. Well, after the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead you to him. Says very clearly in Acts that the Lord, Acts 20, 21, and 22, 20 through 22, that the Holy Spirit draws you to repentance toward God, and then he begins to teach you when you are saved. There are a lot of saved people in the world. They have repented of their sins. They trust in God. Ken, do you love Donna as a friend and as a husband? Do you love Ken because of being a husband and knowing that you're supposed to, Donna? Are you a landmarker because somebody taught you? Are you a landmarker because somebody taught you? Does it matter whether it was Apollos, or whether it was Paul, or whether it was Snickelgruber? It matters that you have learned it. And whoever you learned it from, God made sure that person passed it on to you and taught you. So you're like carrots out in the river. And on the top is a green thing exposed. But down underneath is a carrot. I love carrots. And I love green carrots. I love the tops of the carrots. So you have a unique reason to be thankful to God. You have a very unique reason, and so do I. You say, where did you learn that? In a missionary Baptist church. What kind was it? It was a landmark missionary Baptist church. You say, well, who taught you? The pastors that were there. And did they all believe in the last of the week? No. Did most of them? Yes. But I was fortunate enough to be taught the seven trumpet position. And after I was taught, I could learn. And when I got saved, God was in me. Did I know all that stuff? Did I know how powerful he was in me? Did I give him credit for everything and just kind of stand to one side and give him all the praise and all the recognition? Okay, no. You say, well, who taught you not to do that? God. And so when you come to all these things at Thanksgiving, you have to praise him for it. Thank him for it. Tell him how much you appreciate it. Only way you'll ever tell him if you understand it. You know, it was Abraham that actually became the friend of God. That's in Jude. How did he become the friend of God? Abraham obeyed him. You said, did he ever goof up? Oh, yeah, he goofed up a lot. But he was still trying to do what God wanted. And God is a very forgiving God. And you can't go through life and say, well, I'll never forgive him. You can, but you're wrong. But you can't hold that in you for a long, long time. And just don't do it. You say, well, that's hard. I know. But all you got to do is ask God to forgive you, and He forgives you. That's very true. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll develop a habit of running to Him all the time. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It'll work out. Because when you don't obey Him, you're going to feel rotten. You say, well, I already feel rotten because I haven't come to Him the right way. Well, you can fix that right now. You can fix it this morning. You can come to this church, repent of your sin. If you've already repented of your sins, if you've already got your faith in Jesus Christ, you can come and join this Missionary Baptist Church as a landmarker. All you got to do is confess to the church, I'm saved. I know the Lord. And your coming typifies that. Lord, you've sat here and listened to this stuff all these years. But there has to be a time in your life when you go across the line from God's Spirit condemning you until suddenly one day it hits you. You don't know why it hits you. You don't understand it. But finally, you got up enough courage to ask God. And the Bible says that's the way it's supposed to go. And your mother and parents may have worked with you for years, you know, and that's good. That's what they should do. That's what I tried to do. That's what my wife tried to do. But we came to realize that our responsibility is to bring up the child in the way he should go. And he brought that out very well and excellently in the Sunday school lesson. And you point them in the right direction. And after those children get saved, and they start going the right direction, you have a large part of your reward right here because you love those children, you care for those children, you want them to follow the right way. And if you point them in the right way, they'll follow it. They'll follow it just like a man raises a child to be a baker. Now, this isn't the way it is, our society is now. This doesn't work all the time, and it didn't all the time back then. But what it is that when you come to Jesus, He saves you. You come to Him because the Holy Spirit leads you to Him. Then you're saved. Then God starts trying to teach you. Some take teaching quite well for a little while. But what are we supposed to teach you? Rewards, 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 rewards. Rewards. Well, what are rewards? They are the inheritance. You say, well, what do you mean they're the inheritance? I mean, God rewards you out of the inheritance He has already won in heaven. God was the only man, as Jesus Christ, who ever lived, who kept all the commandments perfectly, all of them, every jot and tittle. Well, what does God expect of you? God expects of you, now that He's saved you, He's told you what to do. You've gone, you were convicted as a child. One day it came along and all of a sudden something happened in you and you came, You may have asked Him right where you're sitting. You may have come down an aisle and confessed Him. Best thing to do is, once He saves you right back here where you're sitting, is come down the aisle and confess it. And from that time on, you're teachable. And you can learn to forgive people that you think you never could. You say, I don't believe that. It's true. You're looking at a man like that Ebenezer Christmas program where he dances around and says, I'm a new man, I'm a new man, I'm a new man. I remember that. And all of a sudden, I knew Him as Savior. I've loved every minute of it, hated some of it, because it involves hills and valleys. Now, there are a lot of people that are believers. Yet, they still have unbelief. You say, no, no, no. Once you get this thing about the kingdom, oh, no, 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 no. After you get this thing about belief, you're okay, Charlie. You're okay. Though, my friend, I'm afraid that many believers who are going to heaven, who have done exactly what was directed in Acts 20 through 22, they're going to heaven because they've enacted. They are believers. But they have unbelief. Now, what's the big reason that they can have unbelief? Many repent toward God and put faith in Jesus for salvation. Happens all the time. They are saved and go to heaven, but do not stay long. In much contact with Him, with Jesus, with God, and serving Him in one of His local churches. Now, all I can do is tell you, whenever you grew up, you were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And all I can tell you is, Jesus fulfilled all three offices of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that. That's what happened. Now, when it talks about staying long and not staying long, that's why the parable of the sower was given. Some people didn't receive Him at all. They're lost as a goose and headed straight for hell. They were the rock. His seed fell on the rock, produced nothing. It didn't return to God void because that fellow had his choice, or that woman had their choice. But then all of a sudden we begin to discover, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened when you suddenly had listened. Did you have a parent that taught you about Jesus? Did you have a daughter that taught you about Jesus? Who taught you about Jesus? Well, was it Paul or was it Paul or Peter or was it the pastor of the church? Or was it God? God's been working your life a long time. Can you relate to what I've been talking about? Is it a big mystery to you? All God do is what say it. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's what you are. So when you talk about these different things, in these different ways they're taught in church, if you have someone living inside you that forgives you, bails you out, you go back to Him again, ask Him to forgive you, and then the anxiety, the worry, the concern goes away when you ask Him. I'd say that was a pretty good indication you were saved. But what about this business of serving Him? You need to know what you're talking about when you talk to somebody else. Your father was probably very well versed in the Bible, or your mother, or both. And you watched them, and they taught you, and you listened, and you grew roots. But somehow you lost interest in the church. You lost interest in the inheritance. Let me tell you something about yourself that you won't like. You became profane. You became profane. You didn't have any interest in the inheritance. You liked the idea of not going to hell. Who wouldn't? But the truth is, you just didn't want to go to church all the time. You didn't want to serve. You had other things that you rated above that. Nothing should rate above serving God and His local church. Nothing. So whatever you're doing that's stopping you from serving in His local church, quit it. Quit it. Give it up. Serve in your church. Don't worry about, oh, I'm sick, I should go to church. No, you probably contaminate everybody. You say, well, I can't fool God. Well, He knows that. You don't know how many times I've tried and failed. And I can't fail. I have to be honest with you. If a preacher isn't honest with you, if you can't trust him in small things, you can't trust him in big things. They are saved and go to heaven, but do not stay long in much contact with him, in serving him in one of his local churches. If you let him get you rooted, and you keep on going, he'll chisel his word in your heart. And the devil will have a whole lot easier, harder time getting you out of his grasp. But when you put other things before him, you don't serve him in the right place. Yeah, I believe in the kingdom. I believe in two kingdoms. And I believe where you're going to live in those two kingdoms. The first and the second. The second one is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I believe that that's what he's going to do. He's going to reward you out of his inheritance. You say, how much did he inherit? Everything. How much did Jesus inherit? Everything. What does he want you to do? He wants you to serve him because he loves you and left you a full inheritance. And you are bound by the word, and he is the word, to be rewarded from that inheritance that he's already paid for. You say, well, why do I have to do that? So you'll know you love him. You know why you're miserable sometimes, even though you're a child of God and you're a new lighter and a PDQ, FOB, COD, and IOU? You really know why you're still unhappy sometimes? It's because you don't serve him in church. It's because you don't do it like he said. It's because you don't tell your children what they should do. It's because you don't point them in the right direction. You say, well, what should I do? Stand out in the street and go like that? No, they should see you at church. And they say, Dad, there's Dad and Mom. I talk about my grandparents all the time, and I'm sorry for the constant reference to it. Why do you think I'm sitting here? I'm sitting here because of them. I don't have to go out to my wife's grave to know where she is. I don't have to go out there and weep and groan and moan. I do sometimes. Matter of fact, if we have good weather this week, I'm going out there. But I go up to Batesville and I go out by their grave. I stand there and talk to them. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, they're not there. Well, I don't judge me by that. God gives me great relief in that. You know what I think about? All the times I went over there with Papa Mac and helped work on that church building. Didn't go much. But he went all the time. And I wasn't all that good a builder. I could do some things. But you know why I'm real happy right now? Some of you are landmarkers. And some of you that aren't are becoming landmarkers. Some of you, I would think all of you, had some roots. How long is your root? Does it reach down into the inheritance? Are you interested in where you live and where your children live in a millennial reign? Are you interested in what delights God? Your surrender, your submission. That's what moves God. I tell you, you know what bothers me all the time? Oh, he's forgiven me. I wish to God I'd surrender to him before I did. I worked hard in the church, and I tried. But my problem was, I didn't understand the greatness of God. You say, well, do you think you do now? I know that I love Him more than I've ever loved Him before, because He's built roots in me. You think I'm a landmarker by accident? God did it. You think I believe what I believe by accident? God taught me. You say, well, why'd you go to seminary and all those other different things? I needed to learn everything I needed to learn. God indicates that He will chisel it in our hearts. Chuck's got a chisel in his heart. Chuck wouldn't back off from what he had for a wild mule. And that's why I love him. He's got a lot of religious courage. And that's why I was so afraid I'd leave this church. And my confidence was not in God what it should be. Now I can go on and be the Lord, and I'm not worried about this church. God brought all you landmarkers in here. And because they came, I emphasized more than I used to on that. But I have taught a lot of landmarkism. And right now it's 10 minutes till 1. Look how much I've got left to go. How you like that, Chuck?